I'm talking today about a word that I'm calling an interruption miracle. And what I've learned over the last 44 years as a Christian and 27 years as a pastor is that God, every now and again, will interrupt my life and then do something I wasn't expecting. Whoever said Christianity is boring was a liar. It is the most fulfilling, exciting, blessed life we could live. Amen. Because I have seen God again and again just come through and change and bless and give hope and heal. Hallelujah. Amen. But he interrupts us with miracles. The thing is, sometimes life has been so hard. Or maybe we have an unanswered prayer. And it's like our faith is a little bit weak. It's kind of like somewhere inside us we're fainting. And we say, can God really move? I'm here today. Maybe I'm a voice in the wilderness. I'm here today to encourage you, to stir your faith, to give you hope that God is a God of miracles. Would anyone say amen?
Amen.
Not only is he a God of miracles, he loves to bless his children. And sometimes he does it in ways we would never have thought possible. So that's what I'm looking at today. Interruption miracle. We're going to look at Acts chapter 12. Now Michael, my beloved friend and pastor, he's away, but he'll be back next week. But he spoke on a part of what I'm going to share today about a year and a half ago. But I'm looking at the other part of the chapter. I'm looking at it from a different angle. So God's word never gets stale, amen? There's always something fresh and new for us in it. So I'm going to pray. Lord, would your word bless our minds, but would it bless our hearts as well?
Amen.
Help us, O God, to face the day of what's left of it and tonight and the week ahead with a bit of faith that you can do something wonderful for us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to do a tiny bit of teaching so that we don't get confused, and then I want to do a bit of preaching. Is that okay?
Yes.
Praise God. Okay. That's okay online. If you disagree online, just say no and we'll bar you, all right? We won't let you on again. Okay. Angels, are they real?
Yeah.
Look at what Hebrews 13:2 says. Don't forget, speaking to Christians, show kindness to strangers. As some who have done this have entertained angels without knowing it. And I can think of about 5 or 6 occasions over the last 40 or so years where someone came into my life and then left soon after. I didn't really know who they were, but they blessed me, including in this building. They just appeared, blessed us, and disappeared. And you know, when you're around a while, you begin to sense something is very different here. Sometimes I sense evil, if someone is here to cause trouble. But so often I sense blessing, and I sense the Holy Spirit, and I sense something wonderful. And I can think of, and I can see some faces, I really wonder, were they angels? Because I didn't know them before, I didn't know them after, and they did something so powerful. Remember, one person came in and made a huge donation out of the blue. Never saw him before, never saw him again. He had no reason to do it. We really needed finance to do something here in the building, and it was looking desperate, and he just came in and he just did it. He didn't know anything. Sometimes God will send an angel into your life. Can I encourage you, if you're a shy person, most people are, and if you say, do you know, I don't like talking to strangers, I believe God will say to you, don't be shy. They might be a stranger to you, but they're not a stranger to the Lord. He knows them. And if God is sending someone to you that you don't know, perhaps you just need to have a little bit of courage and open the door. Maybe God will bless you. Don't keep the door closed and keep the blessing out. Amen?
Amen?
Now, here's something that we don't see here. There's no wings, no halos, and no harps here. How could you entertain an angel unaware if they came in and they had a halo, that's the circle, they had a harp and they had wings? I think you kind of go, are you an angel? Wouldn't you? No?
Yes.
Someone comes into your front room with wings, with a harp, you go, you're an angel. But you see, that's not what it's talking about. The seraphim and cherubim in the Bible are the angels in heaven, worshipping God. So we've got humankind and we've got angelic kind. These are the two creations. And humankind, that's us, we're a little lower than the angels. But God has some types of angels in heaven, but for us on earth, we don't see the wings and the harps and all of that. What we see is someone who appears human. And so don't allow, you see a lot of people in the media or in the culture will have a laugh at anyone who believes in the supernatural. And what they'll do is they know a little bit of the Bible and they'll take it and they twist it and they go, what a fool believing in an angel with the wings and the harp and all of that. No, they don't know their Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. They don't know their Bible. There isn't any of that on this earth. That's in heaven. So that's not what we're talking about. So it's important that we believe, that we see angels are a real thing. And from right at the beginning, we can see, for example, Abraham, right at the beginning of the faith journey for humankind, if you will, three men appeared outside Abraham's tent. They looked like three men. The Bible says they were angels. So we never quite know. So what we read in Acts 12, our portion of scripture today, the first verse, Peter was in prison, arrested for being a Christian, but that night, in the scripture, it said when he realized he was free, he immediately went to Mary's house, where many of the believers were gathered together praying. It's so important as believers that we know where can we go at different times where we can join with other believers. Because the Bible gives us a command, it's not a wish. It says don't forget assembling with the believers. Don't forget to meet with other believers, as is the habit of some. So we're commanded to meet regularly. And it was important that Peter knew, I can go to this house because I know Christians will be there and they'll be praying and worshipping and reading God's word. So he knew that's where he had to go. Just as you knew this morning, here in this building, in the heart of the city of Cork, you knew this is where believers are meeting. So Peter realized he was free and he went to the house of Mary. Now, the Bible tells us this is Mary, the mother of John Mark. John Mark is also known just as Mark, and he wrote the Gospel of Mark. So it's his mother's home. The thing is though, Mary, or Miriam is the name in Hebrew. It's translated into English as Mary. There's a lot of Marys in the Bible. Let's just not be confused. In fact, in the New Testament, there are at least seven Marys. Mary, the mother of John Mark, the lady here. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary Magdalene, the first human to see the risen Savior. Mary, the wife of Clopas. She was the aunt of Jesus Christ, and she was at the cross of Calvary when so many of the disciples ran away. The Holy Spirit is saying to someone here, to a lady here, you are an aunt, and your niece or your nephew will need you to stand by them. Prepare your heart. Because Mary of Clopas stood by her nephew when everyone else was failing. So stand by your nephew or niece. That's a prophetic word for someone. Because they are in trouble and they need your help. Mary, the wife of Clopas. Mary, the mother of James and John, the best friends of Jesus. Mary of Bethany. Her brother was Lazarus. Her sister was Martha. And then we have Mary of Rome, one of the workers in the early Christian church at Rome. So that's a bit of teaching. Is that okay?
Yes.
Are you all still with me?
Yes.
Anyone asleep down the back?
No.
Okay. Praise God. Now it's important, one more thing, that we understand what a house was like where in the New Testament. Because again and again we read the believers met in one another's homes. We kind of think that the home is like, I don't know, a two-bed apartment or something today. It was nothing like that. This is the best I could find online. So Here we see a house. You see, we're going to read now that Peter is knocking on the door of this house. And the door, you can see it here, was in the wall. And you were on the street and you just go to the door. But the thing is, like, they weren't near the door. The people are way further in the house. So what you had is you had a courtyard. You can see the courtyard on the screen. So they're all having a great time in the meeting way back here. And there's a knock on the door out here. But the door is onto the street. So it's not like our houses in Ireland where they knock at your front door and you and I are maybe just a meter or two away in the sitting room. This was a bit of a distance. So that's the context that we're about to read. Now I want to preach. Is that okay?
Yes.
Is that okay down there?
Yes.
How about down there?
Yes.
How about over here?
Yes.
Hey. So, Acts 12:13. Peter's got out of prison. When he knocked at the door of Mary's house, a servant girl called Rhoda answered the door. Peter's out in the street. He's just after being delivered, and he's knocking at the door. Now, this girl, Rhoda, would have been, history and culture tells us, she was aged between 12 and 16. The ages of a lot of the girls and guys who are right now in our teenage church downstairs. So she's quite young. She's a servant. She's obviously a girl. And she goes out to answer the door, and this was her role. So he's knocking at the door, and Rhoda goes out. And we're told, when she recognized Peter's voice, in her joy, she forgot to open the door and instead ran in to tell the others that Peter was outside. I love how the Bible is so believable. It records the human weaknesses, probably too strong a word, but human nature in the Bible. My sister was just like that growing up. I remember a couple of times someone important. I remember we had visitors from America, Jean and Beth. We had cousins in America. They came over once to surprise us. My sister went out to answer the door, saw them, and left the door closed and ran in to tell all the rest of it. It's so human. It's so believable. It says she recognized Peter's voice. It's important to remember Rhoda, young as she was, loved the Lord. How did she know Peter's voice? She probably heard him preach on the day of Pentecost. She would definitely have invited him into the home again. And she would definitely have heard him preach the word of God. She knew his voice. It's not that she didn't see him, but there weren't streetlights, so it's the voice resonated with Rhoda. It's a bit like when I became a Christian 44 years ago, if we wanted to meet our friends, nobody had a mobile phone. There was no WhatsApp or texting or anything like that. There was a telephone machine, I call it, in the house, but my father controlled the telephone, and he wouldn't let you speak on that. He wanted to keep it free for his business. So if we wanted to connect, we called to each other's homes. And I can remember when some of the Christian lads that became Christians with me would come and knock at the door. If my father answered the door, he'd come in and he'd go, "There's some of your crowd out there." Or when he was in good form, he'd go, "Some of that group are there at the door for you." He certainly didn't run in with joy. "Tom, the believers are at the door. Tom, it's wonderful news." My dad wasn't a believer, never was. Why is she so full of joy? Because she loves the Lord. She can see the real answer to prayer. The miracle is unfolding, and she gets it. So she's full of joy. And she runs in. And what do the people in the meeting say? "You're out of your mind." That's so discouraging, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You're a young Christian. You're full of joy. You come in to tell about God is answering prayer. A miracle is happening. And the older believers go, "No, you're out of your mind. You're crazy. It shouldn't happen in the Christian church." But Christians are human. And we make mistakes, don't we?
Yeah.
There's one person agrees. We all make mistakes, don't we?
Yes.
So we're not going to be Auntie Mary, the owner of the house. She was a busy woman, I'm sure. But she just thought Rhoda was out of her mind. But Rhoda kept insisting that Peter was at the door. Here's the problem. A miracle is happening. The Christians are in the meeting, but the miracle is outside, not inside. Can I have a volunteer who'll go out and knock at the door here? Is that a trick, volunteer? Anyone? Go on, Paddy. Give Paddy a round of applause, Brian! So we're all in the meeting, okay? You're all in the play here now, okay? Nobody going to sleep? Okay, we're all in the meeting. Thank you, Lord. Lord, pray for Peter, miracle, lead him out of prison. Okay, Paddy. No, no, you got it. No. Big, big loud knock. Outside. Yeah. Do it louder.
Yes.
No. We're having a lovely time here now. No, this is a lovely meeting. No, stop banging at the door. Give him a round of applause. Thank you, Paddy. Here's the truth. If the Holy Spirit is at the door, don't close the door. Don't leave the door locked. When I was a very young Christian, I was friends with a pastor of an old church here in Cork, and they loved the Lord and they believed the Bible. But when in the 1970s, before my time, the Holy Spirit began to move all over the city, a thing called charismatic renewal sprung up, and people started to be healed, to get the gift of tongues, to prophesy. Miracles were happening. People were coming to faith. And even though the pastor was very open to this, it was an old conservative church. The people in the church didn't want anything like that to happen in their church. And I asked him, I said, how did you feel? He said, desperate. Because when they closed the door on the Holy Spirit, they closed the door on God. And it began the death of that church. The book of Revelation, you read about God removing the lamp, the light, from congregations, from churches. So when they closed the door on the Holy Spirit, that's what caused that church to die. Within about 5 years, it was dead. There was no one left. Why? Because they wouldn't open the door to the Holy Spirit. Open the door to the Holy Spirit in your life. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Rhoda kept insisting, praise God. Even though she was young, she wasn't going to give in. You see, sometimes the answer to your prayers is right before your eyes. But we don't see it. Right before your eyes. I remember someone who I really love, and years ago, this is a Christian girl, she was praying for her husband. And she was saying, there was no one here. She thought someone would come from America. Jean, you're too late, but anyway, Beth is happy. She thought someone would come from America or overseas and come in and be her husband, and nobody came. And you know what? There was a guy in the church who loved her. And she ended up marrying him. But there was a whole season where she looked right past him. Sometimes the answer is right before our eyes. But because of a prejudice or some kind of notion we have, we don't see it. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The friend you need could be right before your eyes, but you just don't see it. It's a bit like talking about romance, let's say. It's a bit like, let's say you're a guy here and you're praying for a wife. That's a good prayer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, some of the men said yes. The women are very silent. It's okay for a man, a Christian man, to pray for a Christian wife. Who'll say yes?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So he's praying for a wife. And let's say a lovely, attractive girl comes in, starts coming to church, and she decides to go upstairs to the atrium after the services, after the meetings, to have coffee, to mix, and maybe she's got a little bit of a prayer that she'll meet a guy that one day she could marry. So she's up there, but he's down here. And then he says, time to go home. And he never goes up the stairs. You know what? The road goes both ways. If God is bringing a blessing into your life, you gotta put yourself in the way of it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can't you say, no, Lord, I want him to appear right now in front of me. No, no, no. Brothers, you gotta go on the hunt. The good hunt. Not the bad, not that other hunt, no. You're all thinking in the other one. No, 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 no. Oh no, we'll have none of that hunting, okay? This is a Christian church. Hunting the church, amen? That's okay. It's okay to search for a husband or wife in church. Some people feel, I'm of the flesh. No, you're not. This is God's plan. Yeah?
Yes.
Who'll give a loud amen to that?
Amen.
It's okay. Way better to find your future partner in a church than in a nightclub. Or in a pub. So you gotta open the door. You gotta go up the stairs. No, I'm just a quiet guy. Okay, you can be a quiet guy. But you gotta go stretch beyond your comfort zone to find a wife. So anyway, the Christians are going, no, you're only imagining this, you're out of your mind. She keeps insisting. She knew the miracle was real. First verse I learnt off as a Christian was, I know that my Redeemer lives. She insisted on the truth of what was happening. And what did they say next? They all said to her, it's only his angel. It's only an angel. I saw it's only an angel. Imagine if an angel was at your front door tonight. Of your house, of your apartment, of your room in a shared house. And you're inside and there's an angel there. Would you just go, it's only an angel. I'm getting bored of this movie. I'm going to go on to another movie. I fell up a Netflix, so I go on to Amazon Prime now. Imagine that. It's only an angel. Only. Remember, these people had seen so many miracles. I'm jumping ahead. First of all, what was their attitude? They were saying to this young girl, we know best. She saw with her own eyes. She came with the truth. But there was like a hardness in their heart. And these are good people. These are the best of people. They're doing the right thing. They weren't wrong, but in this they were mistaken. They're good people. They gave up their time to come and worship God and pray, like you. Can I say, you're good people. You wouldn't have given up your Sunday to come in here unless there was a lot of good going on in your life. Well done you. Well done you. So these are good people. But they had to work on their attitude. We know best, they said to her. They also had a wrong doctrine, because if you read into this, you see, the Bible, as we saw, says there are angels, and sometimes angels come to us in human form. And that's true. But they then took an urban myth, a legend, wrong doctrine. It wasn't toxic, but it was just wrong. And that doctrine said that every person had a guardian angel, and that guardian angel looked exactly like you. So that's why they were saying it's only his angel. It's only his angel, Peter's angel. So they all just said, it's the guardian angel. The thing is, I challenge anyone to show me here where it says everyone is a guardian angel. And I challenge anyone to say, where in the Bible does it say your guardian angel looks exactly like you? God help. Lord, you could do better than looking like me. Why are you laughing? So they took good doctrine, but the culture had added stuff on. And so here, they're getting a bit confused, because they say, when they saw she was so insistent, they could see she was fired up. And that's why they just jumped into this wrong attitude, where they said, it's his angel, it's his guardian angel who looks like Peter. No, it wasn't. And this is the big thing. They're going to ignore an angel. There's an angel out there, and you're going, nah, couldn't be bothered really. Remember, these people had seen multiple miracles, and maybe that's part of the explanation. They had seen, many of them, Jesus do miracles. The sick were healed. The blind could see. The lame could walk. The lepers got clean. He raised the dead. He multiplied the food. And then after Jesus was crucified, Corinthians tells us over 500 believers around Jerusalem saw the risen Jesus. So a lot of those guys saw Jesus having risen from the dead personally. And the Bible tells us in Acts, that almost every day there were signs and wonders and miracles in the early Christian church. They had seen so many miracles. Surely they had something in their heart to see that Peter would be at the door. But sometimes we can get into a way of thinking that we need to pray forever for God to answer. And I have seen again and again, sometimes when we pray, the answer comes immediately. We love that, don't we?
Yeah.
But sometimes our faith doesn't stretch to it. Sometimes it doesn't. But they'd seen so many miracles. Maybe another angel at the door was just no big deal. Maybe Peter at the door was no big deal. Here's what I say to myself, and if I can, submit it to you. Faith fades fast. If you and I don't keep that connection, and these are good people, if we don't always keep a little bit of the wonder of God, an openness to the mystery of how God can move, if we don't follow what Jesus said when he said to the big hairy men, you've got to be like a little child. A child has wonder. A child's eyes open wide when you tell him a make-believe story. But the thing is, this is not make-believe, this is true. And so we have to keep a little bit of that childlike faith in our souls, or else we become cynical and a bit lukewarm and a bit hard and a bit know-all. And you know what? Faith doesn't thrive in that environment. And we come like the people of Nazareth, where Jesus didn't do many miracles because they didn't have much faith. Keep a bit of faith for the miracles. We'll say amen.
Amen.
But Peter continues, he's still outside. They're all in the meeting, and he's still outside. The miracle is at the door, but they still haven't brought him in. Peter continued knocking. This is a prophetic word. Some of you have not seen an answer to prayer, and part of you feels like despairing. I'm here today to say, be like Peter. Continue knocking. Continue praying. Continue believing. I want to pray right now, just right now. If that's you, would you lift up your hands? You haven't seen an answer to prayer, and you want to come, just to have God to help you continue to pray. See your hands? Can I ask you, just stand where you are and lift your hands to heaven. If someone you know is by your side, maybe they'll just put a hand on your elbow or something, or your shoulder and pray. Just give that unanswered prayer to God. I pray, Lord Jesus, for my brothers and sisters who are faithfully praying that you would do a miracle, that you would undertake something in their lives. I pray something of the spirit of Peter would be in their hearts as well.
Amen.
And they would not give up. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Oh God, keep them safe.
Amen.
And let them continue knocking on the door of heaven.
Amen.
And not just continue, God. Would you do a breakthrough into that prayer?
Amen.
We pray that in the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus,
amen,
to our Heavenly Father, and we do it here and now by faith, and the people of God who prayed it said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. Let's take our seats again. He's still knocking. Here's the interesting thing. Peter never comes into the meeting. What a waste of a meeting. He never comes in. He stays out on the street. He didn't even come into the courtyard. He's out on the street. Because they all went out because she was so insistent. And when they opened the door, when they saw him, they were amazed because they saw it with their own eyes. What did Jesus say? Blessed are you who have not seen and yet believe. We believe in an invisible God. Many of you heard me say it before. It's like the wind. We can't see the wind, but we can see its power. What is it? Sometimes nearly half the electricity in your home comes from the windmills all over Ireland. We can see the destructive force of wind. We can't see it, but we see its power. When the Roman general in AD 70 came to burn and destroy Jerusalem, he couldn't wait to get to the Jewish temple and go into the Holy of Holies because he had heard the Jews were willing to give their lives up for this God. And when he got in there, he was desperately disappointed. Josephus, the historian, records him saying, there was no God there. I went into their holy place and I couldn't see anything. Because he never got it. It's an invisible God. Oh yeah, he can do visible things, and sometimes he will appear, but he couldn't get it. And so, brothers and sisters, if you have never seen anything visible, and yet faith is strong in your heart, the Bible says you are blessed. Because you believe even though you don't see. If you haven't seen, you will see. But in the meantime, blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. But they were amazed, they're thrilled. It doesn't say this, but I'm sure they said, come in, come in. Come into the house, come into the meeting. We're going to have a great time. What does Peter say? He motions them to be silent with his hand. I don't know, did he do that? Did he do that? If you're listening on podcast, you just got to come in and see the real thing. I don't know what his signal was, but he said to them to be silent. He told them how the Lord had delivered them, had delivered him from prison. He told them what Rhoda had told them. Now they're believing, probably because he's a man, he's older, he's a leader, but sometimes God will reveal something even through children. And we don't get it, but that's how he does it. And he said, now go tell all these things to James and the leaders. That was Jesus' brother. And then he left them for another place. I wonder why he didn't come into the meeting. Maybe he was a bit cheesed off with them. Maybe he was going, what? Do you know, guys, you could have done a bit better. I don't know. How long did it go on? Was it 5 minutes? Maybe it was a half an hour. I just had to get out of the prison. I'm cold. I'm hungry. I really could do with a power shower right now. And here I am at the door, and they're not even letting me in. No wonder he didn't come in. He went for another place. But brothers and sisters, a miracle interrupted the believers' lives, and they weren't fully tuned in to the fact that God could do it. I'm challenging myself. Can I challenge you? Do you have space in your heart for God to interrupt your life with a miracle? Because miracles are supernatural. Restoring a relationship, bringing someone from the past, getting a good report from the doctor, from your job, from your house hunt, whatever it is. Do you believe God can do a miracle?
Yes.
I know that we all do here on one level. I'm appealing and submitting to your emotions as well. Can you believe that God can do a miracle for you?
Yes.
Maybe God is speaking into your future. Maybe he's speaking into your tonight. Can God do something? Do you know how he does it? He interrupts. Michael is on holidays, as I said, but I am going to just channel him now through me and quote C.S. Lewis. This is an in-house joke, by the way. When Michael preaches, he almost always quotes C.S. Lewis, but I can quote him as well.
Yeah.
All right? I can quote him just as good as Michael can. C.S. Lewis, the great Irish writer, he's the guy who wrote loads of brilliant books. Was a professor. He said, we must stop regarding unexpected things as interruptions to our real life. For the believer, the truth is, interruptions are our real life. God wants to interrupt your life and my life. Are we open to it? Can we honestly say, oh God, you can interrupt me anytime? Does that mean the middle of the night? Yes, it does. Does that mean when you're just sitting down to watch your favorite movie? Yes, it does. I tell you something, Jesus is something far better than a movie for you. Far better than sleeping in the middle of the night for you or for me. He's got something far better. I want to encourage your faith to believe that the Holy Spirit can come in and do something wonderful in our lives. Could the band come up, please? We're going to sing in just a moment that powerful song called Waymaker. Even when I don't see it, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, does anyone know the song down here?
Yeah.
Even when I don't see it, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. Our God will do miracles, and initially we may not see it. But you know, we waste that blessed time if we get too focused in on what we're doing and we don't have a bit of faith to believe what God can do. So I'm going to ask you to stand, brothers and sisters. I'm going to throw the words up. Have we got the words there, guys? We're going to sing Waymaker, and then I want to pray. you to invite God to interrupt your life with a miracle. Julie. See, the devil doesn't want this happening, but we're not going to let the devil interfere. Hallelujah. What's after happening? The devil is after cancelling the screens. He's trying to cancel the song. We don't need screens, we need Jesus. You know the words. Let's sing along anyway, Julie. Place yet, but we want to encourage those who are. I don't even, there's so many people here, I don't think we have room up here to call you up. So I'm going to have to pray where you are right now. Lift up both your hands to heaven, and I want you to think of the miracle you need to see. These people, Mary and the guys in the house, were praying for Peter. Who are you praying for? What's their name? Or what's the name of that issue? Let's pray. Jesus, your eyes are upon us now, and you're looking at every man and woman here, and you're listening to their heart, and you hear the silent cry, and we invite you now, Lord, as we stand by faith in the house of God, on this Sabbath day, on this holy ground, on this bloodstained ground, we stand on Calvary's ground, we plead the blood in our lives, and we call out to you, O God, would you do the miracle in our lives? And the people of God say,
amen.
May God show you something wonderful as he does a miracle. God, would you send your angels, the strangers, would you give us a heart to open the door and entertain a stranger? Because we are willing, oh God, we are willing to see a miracle, to see your blessing through an angel. Come, Lord Jesus. I have one last word, and I shared it at our Happiest Night meeting. That's the one before 10. And it was this, and I believe it's for someone here. I saw, as I was driving up this morning, a one-way street, and there was a big sign that said, no entry. One way only. And it's to do with someone, with a friendship or a family member or a relationship that isn't going well. And here's God's word for you. I saw the one way sign being taken down. and that road became two-way. And God is saying to you, you got to let the other person come to you, because it's all one-way traffic and the road should go two ways. And God is saying, take down the one-way sign. It's not all on you. They've got to make a move as well. And so God is challenging some people here. That person you care about, you got to allow them. Don't steal their initiative. Allow them to come to you as well. And for some of us, that's really hard. But there are some of us here now, and I know you identify with that. Can I ask everyone to close their eyes on and off stage? And if you've been doing all the moves to reach out to someone you care about, and they haven't been making any moves, you need to give them over to God today. And you need to say, Lord, would you move on them to come to me? That will be a fleece before the Lord. I will know this friendship, this family relationship, you want me to keep on in their lives, but this is a fleece. Let them ring me for a change. Let them come to me for a change. If that's you, with every eye closed, would you just lift up your hand? Okay, I see your hands. Just in the palm of your hands, just put that person in the palm of your hands. And here and now, Lord, we give them over to you. Like Abraham, who laid Isaac on the altar, we laid them on the altar, but we do it, oh God, with a heartbeat that says, would you change their attitude so they come to us as well? Let it become a two-way relationship and not all one-sided. And oh God, if we have to let them go and not see them for a while, I pray resilience and faith into your life, here and now, and that God would raise up others who can help you in this. I pray in Jesus' name. We'll say amen.
Amen.
One last prayer. If all of what we're saying today sounds incredible, fantastic, but very far away, if you don't know who Jesus is, or if you've drifted away and it's like he's in the distance, in the final few moments of total privacy, if you want to give your life to the Lord, invite him in. Or maybe you want to come back to him because you've drifted. With every eye closed, can you just slip up a hand in the darkness? All I see is a hand, I won't see your face. Just tell the Lord you want to invite him in. I see your hand, I see yours, yours. Hallelujah. There's someone else. I see your hand, and I see yours. I knew there were five people and we have five. We're going to say a prayer. Can I ask you to pray it with me? Particularly those five people who put up their hands. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ,
come into my life.
Come into my life again.
I want you to be my leader.
My Savior.
My best friend.
Lord, I fall down before you.
Forgive me my sins.
Will you take me by the hand?
Lead me through
the promised land
of my future
with you.
I surrender now, Lord,
in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
We give those five people around the applause, God. If you'd like a contemporary Bible, come and see me or Dara or whoever's on the Connect desk afterwards, and we'll pass on one to you. Can I, before we close, introduce, this is Grant. Grant is playing guitar for the first time today. He looks the part, he sounds the part, he's gonna be really good. This is Hazel. Her baby is due very soon, but instead of watching Netflix at home, she's coming into the house of God to serve. Hazel, you're an inspiration. And I think her husband Simon had something to do with it as well. Julie, the lady with the anointing on her life, led worship. Jerry, the man with the rhythm of heaven in his heart. I'm talking about angels. This lady is an angel in her nature and in her ministry. This is Zyla. Give her a round of applause. coaching and ushering. God bless you. Happy upstairs. Hope to see you next week.